You were telling me that there's something earlier this week on Kotaku.
On
Regarding
Kotaku. What was
game
devs
it?
talking.
Oh
Oh,
yes,
yes.
there was an article by Jason Schreier about how he felt more devs should talk in the industry, and it was apparently sensationalist headline. This is the biggest problem in gaming at the moment because devs don't talk, and then it just sounded like he was a bit butthurt that he had been denied an interview or something. And as it turns out, he tried to get Notch Minecraft to talk about or say some bad things about Windows 8, and he'd gone on NeoJaff and he'd quoted the email that he sent to him, going, "Oh, so I see a few other devs have said some bad things about Windows 8. What do you have to say about that?" And it's like, that's not baiting him at all into leading him into saying something. You haven't asked him what his opinion of Windows 8 is. You've asked him whether or not he's going to chime in exactly the same way his colleagues have. But yeah, Notch had gone, "Oh no, you tried to, you know." It went up all on Twitter and stuff. But I thought it was interesting that, and it was quite ironic that of all the places to have printed a story like that, Kotaku had done it. And then they start off the story by saying, "You might remember that we leaked everything about Modern Warfare 3 before release." And he's like, "And you
Look,
wonder, you
no, there
wonder
was a
why."
site you could go read it all about it. It wasn't they
Well,
in themselves.
to be fair, he wrote that up as a foundation for the point he was trying to make, and he did
Right,
make
yeah.
his point very well, I think, that even regardless of them leaking everything about Modern Warfare 3 well ahead of
That's the
its
game.
launch,
It was 750
that it made
mil.
775 million in its first 5 days, regardless. So leaking information, giving information out in that particular case, and then he applied that experience to everything, which
And
isn't necessarily true, but.
yeah, I was a bit annoyed at that, and I made that perfectly clear to him because I was like, that's pretty much the exception to the rule. It's like you can't really apply the same sort of rules to Call of Duty just because everybody knows they do whatever the hell they want. And it's like very few people buy Call of Duty for the story anyway. So you can leak whatever the hell you want about the
And most
story.
of the people that buy Call of Duty every year aren't reading Kotaku anyway.
Anyway.
They, I mean, that's that article pissed me off on so many levels, especially because, like, listen, Kotaku is not exactly the pinnacle of good journalism. I mean, they're
No, they're
goddamn
one of our beef
idiots.
sites.
Yeah, they're fucking atrocious. And part of the problem is, like, people like Jason himself, they're fucking snakes. If a rattlesnake bites you're gonna stop picking it up. And that is basically what these people are doing. And then they're getting mad because, oh, people aren't talking to us. Well, yeah, it's because you've screwed them over time after time after time and released stuff and started fights and caused problems. Like, yeah, of course they're not going to talk to you. What do you
Well,
expect? Like,
they still get talked to. They still get product. They still get
oh yeah,
events
exclusives.
because they're too big.
Yeah,
right.
They can't afford the PR can't afford to not put something on Kotaku, and
It's okay, yeah.
it's really frustrating because
Out.
like Call of Duty, the same rules don't apply.
I said this to a PR person who will remain nameless, but I said it to them the other week. And there was a preview of something, and Totillo comes out with stuff, and half of his preview is stuff that had come before. And I'm just there thinking, if you'd bothered to read the exclusive that another publication got, another big publication got, like at the start of the year, you wouldn't have written half of that stuff. So it's either just filler or you're stupid. I'm not quite sure which. And this PR person couldn't really understand why I was upset. And I'm like, we wouldn't just then go and regurgitate half of what I would have written in the first place, right? It's like, I don't know. I just.
Well, the thing with Totillo, I think it's a mixture of him being stupid and not really giving a shit. I really do not like him specifically about Kotaku, but with PR, they have a goal. Their goal is to get something out to as many people as possible. And while some of the better ones will have standards, even they, I have. When I saw the news that Hip Hop Gamer had signed on with
Oh,
EGM, and I went to Twitter and I said, "Oh, what the fuck?" And I got a DM from a PR person just saying, hip hop gamer. And I was like, yes, this PR person does not like hip hop gamer, agrees with everything that I think about hip hop gamer. And yet, they will still send stuff to hip hop gamer because he has an audience and they can't afford not to provide to an audience.
And it's the other reason it
upsets me so much that so many smaller sites and even bigger sites have some of the worst writing I have read on the face of this.
And absolutely. Yet
the thing is, the people reading don't give a shit. It's the people like me, like us, who care about the writing aspect of it, who care.
And but the PR doesn't care
because the PR gives it to the audience, and the audience doesn't care about the quality of the writing.
I don't usually have much of an ego, but I honestly think that I am a better writer than a lot of the people that are writing for some of those major publications.
I've read some of your stuff on your IGN blog, for example.
Yeah.
And obviously, for you, I edit like a one word, two words in a piece, and I'm done.
No, seriously. And he tells me that all the time, like, about you. He's just like, so I just had to go ahead and edit go through one of Adam's pieces before publishing. And I was like, and he's like, I only had to edit like one or two things.
I appreciate it. But what's hilarious is, like, I couldn't get a position with those people because it's so built on nepotism and knowing people. It just makes me so furious about the entire gaming industry because they get upset they're not getting talked to, even though they're constantly getting talked to, and they basically set up the entire situation themselves and then get pissed because these people are trying to run a business. Like, they want to keep things back. I'm still under embargo for some of the stuff from Darksiders because they want to make the announcements. They want to build a steady excitement for the game, leak things out slowly, which makes perfect sense. You don't tell everyone everything about Darksiders 2 6 months before it's released because then no one's going to remember it.
Right. It's their content. So
right.
Obviously going into it, agreeing to that NDA of their content, are respecting it because it's not yours to give until the agreed time. And that's fantastic.
And breaking their trust and writing articles that give things away you weren't supposed to. And now you're mad that they won't give you more information. Like, it was just such a whiny little interview.
Well, it's like, okay, so you're talking about, you know, that right now and, you know, wanting to go ahead and control the information, you know, a little bit's here, a little bit's there. It's almost like, so the gaming company, they are a couple and, you know, the wife finds out that she's pregnant. So she goes and she finds out, she goes and tells the husband, then they go ahead and they plan how they make the announcement. Then they have to go ahead and wait X amount of weeks before they find out the gender of the child. And then they go ahead and release that information. And then obviously you don't get the big show until, you know, the baby comes out one way or another, you know, and then you figure out all the rest of the details. That's when the game launches. You know what I mean? It's essentially the same way.
The married couple just doesn't have any information until a certain point, whereas the dev pub obviously has the information. They're just spacing it out.
Right. No, I mean, I'm just saying, though, it's just like, you know, it's, you know, you get little bits along the way, I guess, you know, that's what I'm trying to say.
And the gaming and game journalists are the sister-in-law who's really mouthy and tells everyone before you want anyone to know.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is.
Or it's like, you know, you have the couple then who is like, okay, well, we know that we're pregnant. We should probably wait. I don't want everybody to know right now, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, oh, we know the gender of the baby. Let's wait. I don't want everybody knowing. You know what I mean? It's just like, so you go ahead and you contain that information because, you know, maybe you don't want everybody to know that you're expecting a child.
Or the only thing, you want to plan a big event and you let everyone know by the color of the cake inside or some shit.
Yeah.
And then somehow the sister-in-law goes and tells everyone. And the effect of your announcement
is ruined. That bitch.
Kotaku is just so terrible. The only thing I've read worse lately was that CNN Geek blog about girls being at Comic-Con.
Oh my god, that was terrible.
I was shocked that was not a Kotaku piece, because Lord knows they certainly write crap like that.
See, but here's the thing. Kotaku, the CNN Geek, whatever, Polygon, IGN, it's all the same. I mean, Polygon, I mean, Andy, you know, I had that big thing about Polygon a while ago, and I got into a few hours worth of tweeting back and forth with Justin McElroy about about this kind of thing because of a piece that Crescente had put up.
Yeah.
And, you know, McElroy was there saying, oh, you know, it's because they put up one sentence as a post and then left it that way until they could fill in more of the post. And it's like, you're a polygon. You don't have to worry about being first on the scene. You, in a matter of months, have developed a reader base that is larger than any of the other sites because of who you all are. Act like it. And so McElroy says, well, you know, it's called, I don't know what he called it, but it was like leading into a story, a developing story.
Some BS.
And so he said, oh, well, so places like CNN do it, MSNBC does it, blah, blah, blah does it. And I'm like, and that's your standard? And then Crescente jumps in and says, seriously, that's our standard? And it's, well, I like Crescente because of that, because even he was able to say, majestic. Seriously, they have a chance to build their own fucking standard. Yeah. And they don't have to worry about the problems that other places have to worry about. They're guaranteed an audience. They're guaranteed anything they fucking want, and yet they still follow the old paradigm.
Well, that's like, the one thing... Sorry, carry on.
No, I was going to say, didn't CNN, like, not that long ago, make, like, this really big fucking journalistic mistake where they... What was it? Where they reported something, like, completely wrong? God, what was it?
It was some announcement, I think.
Yeah, it was some announcement. It was the Supreme Court thing. That's what it was. Yeah, it was the Supreme Court. Yeah, where they're just like, oh, it was denied.
And then they were like, oops.
Yeah, but see,
here's the thing. Fox News, of all places, the Kotaku of news organizations, they got it wrong in the first place, too. They corrected themselves immediately once they found out they had gotten it wrong. 10 minutes after Fox had made the correction, CNN was still reporting the incorrect information. You have to have someone in your organization who's keeping track of your competitors and what they're airing, obviously. So you see that, you make a damn change.
It's the goddamn internet. That's the problem, is everyone is in such a rush to fill that constant news cycle.
Well, first. It's like on the forums when you see that person.
You mentioned Polygon and writing the one sentence news, and it's such a VG 24/7. It's like, I call it the VG 24/7, where they will just put so and so has done so and so, and a lot of the time they won't even put a link, no source link, no nothing. Yeah. It's just, and then more soon. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with more soon? It's like, if I were one of their readers, I'd be like, fuck this shit. Seriously. Sorry for swearing, but it pisses me off every time I see it because it happens at least 5 times a day. And it always, I used to think it was just, there was one particular guy who was their UK news editor. I don't think he's there anymore. I thought it was just him, but they all do it. Even Pat Garrett, who I respect, he does it. He'll just put, so-and-so has announced this. And then it's like 30 minutes later, they will now flesh out the story. It's like, so what was the point? Why didn't you?
I can wait a half hour to get a full story. I'm sorry, I'm not that busy. I can jump on my phone and look at the news. Jesus Christ.
So it's just, and then they recently did something, and that went onto Twitter as well. Actually, there's a site. It's quite funny. IGN call them now the regular rumor site MP First. So hi to Fahed, by the way, if he's listening. But he runs that site, and they break quite a lot of stories, actually. A lot of the stories that the biggest sites pick up. And the whole Battlefield 4 thing that was on that Origin and how you had to pre-order and all that jazz, they broke that story. And then about 5 minutes later, IGN had the same story, and then everyone started quoting IGN as the source, and Fahed was a bit pissed off. So he reaches out to Mitch D, going, why haven't you guys quoted us? You know, I'd expect that courtesy. And Mitch goes, I just got in and I immediately logged on to Origin and saw it. He said, really? Is that what you do every night when you come back from a night out? You go straight on to Origin? Funny that. It's like, all you had to do was just put the source link. We found it from MP First. It's not that hard. But
well, we had broken a story about High Voltage Studios, and it got picked up because it was a big deal, I guess. And so a lot of people started quoting it, got up to the big places, and noticed in a few cases that the larger sites reporting it were the ones being sourced to, mm-hmm. because no one knew who the hell we were. So I had to send out emails to all these editors saying, hey, this is the original story. Would you mind sourcing us? Because this is our exclusive story.
Yeah.
And it just sucks.
Yeah, it's such a... Especially
if you get told to your face, no, I just figured this out myself, sorry.
Yeah, and Eurogamer do it a lot. That network, they'd rather link to like Game Industry or VG247 or other sites within the network than to the source link. I think I blew up on Twitter about it the other day as well. I was just like, why not just
link? You blew up on Twitter about unethical practices of a game journalism.
I don't want to have to site hop 4 times to get to the source. I'm looking for the source. Just link to it. So IGN will link to Eurogamer. Eurogamer will link to VG247. VG247 will link to All Games Beta, and then All Games Beta will actually link to the source where it came from in the first place. Why do I have to go through 4 sites? I don't want to click all your 4 sites. I just want to get to the source. Right?
And I've seen a couple of loops starting through, you know, usually IGN or Joystick that will site loop like that back on each other. And I forget what the most recent story this was. This was a couple months ago, and I was trying to find the source link, and it was like IGN to Kotaku to Joystick to, I think it was probably like, it was either GamesRadar or GameSpot, and then back over to the IGN store where I started.
Kind of like a chicken and the egg.
Yeah. I was like, well, so if everyone's just quoting everyone else, what is this actual news? Or did someone just put up a joke headline and saw how far it would go? It really is embarrassing.
It's a matter of due diligence. No one wants to take the time, especially with like the one Andy was linking where it just went back and back and back and back. The person at IGN wasn't going to take the time to follow the links all the way back to provide the original source. They saw where they got it from. That's all they cared about. They're not going to do anything more than that.
And yet... Those sites, a lot of those big sites, I remember one time, I deliberately did it, Eurogamer broke a story, and I deliberately did not link to them, thinking, partly they've done it to us a lot of the time, so this is payback, and they're not going to see anyway. At the time, we were a tiny, tiny blog. And I got a tweet from the guy who wrote the story, and a Eurogamer saying, oh, you know, this is why blogs are so unprofessional. And I'm like, dude, don't even start with that. don't even try it. But yeah, that's one of many things that's wrong with games journalism.
Well, no, it's really weird because they have like there's like unspoken rules, you know, like anything in life. There's a creed, if you will, amongst journalism. And those fuckers think that they're above it and that they have their own little set. And I'm like, no, bitches. It's across the board for everybody, no matter how big or how small, you know, that's just the way that it is. And if you don't want to play by it, then get the fuck out, because you're making the rest of us look bad because you want to be a dick. And don't be a dick.
And it's over blogs and stuff, too. The people don't have to. When you own your own blog, you don't have to actually hold up to your own to any journalistic standards.
Right.
Yeah. So IGN and Joystick and Kotaku can be like, oh, well, we're a news blog, a news role. Yeah. We're not really a news outlet. And then they can just do whatever the hell they want because they're not held to the journalistic expectations that they should be. I mean, anyone that's taken a journalism class in frickin' high school should know most of this stuff. But that's how they skirt it and get around it. And it's depressing and annoying.
That brings up a point, actually, that I asked you guys sort of before we started recording. And it's something that I've noticed a little bit, but it's come up with discussions I've had with some PR. So like in the UK, at least over here, we make the distinction between enthusiast press and specialist press. Right. And for us, it's like specialist press are magazines, you know, the old school. And then enthusiast press is pretty much any blog, WordPress site on the Internet. And PRs make that distinction. So they'll put you on separate press lists, and specialist press will always get the assets an hour before the embargo or whatever, and you know everything. They get things well ahead of time, and they can set things up. They can plan their coverage. Specialist press, you can get it anything, 5 minutes before, probably even after, the day after. They don't really care about you, to be honest. But I was speaking to a few PRs in America, and they laughed at me as like, what is this distinction, specialist? And we have one press We have one press list, and everyone gets everything at the same time, and we give them an embargo, and if you break it, you get blacklisted. So I find that, I find it odd that there's like that difference. I mean, I don't know if that's the same with you guys.
Well, you know, I noticed that for certain things, and like we were talking about earlier, we'll get news or assets later than some of the bigger sites or certain other, even our own scale sites. But
yeah.
I also have to keep in mind, now that I've had some time to think about it, that they're sending tens of thousands potentially of emails at
in
one
ways.
Time, and so maybe it just takes a while for us on the list. Maybe we're farther down on it alphabetically or whatever.
I think it sounds like I'm shilling for THQ, and I guess I kind of am because, you know, I really enjoyed the press event. But I thought it was really interesting how they've started to break community events into events for people that are running the sites, running forums that have a different take and a different view on things, so they can cater to those people and they can still cater to the bigger sites because they realize that there is a huge amount of value in having both.
Yeah.
And making sure that you're seeing both and that people that read our sites get different takes on everything. And I think that that's a much better way of handling it and probably more beneficial to getting, you know, getting people to buy your game than just giving it to IGN or just giving it to Joystick.
Well, yeah. You know, there's one thing that I have been liking lately, and there's certain companies, and I can't remember all of them right now, but, you know, so say Adam, you go ahead and you write a review on a game, and, you know, you go ahead and you make the tweet, you do the the name of the company or, you know, whatever their Twitter is, and you use the hashtag, they'll go ahead and they'll retweet it, you know, to people who are following them, or they'll go ahead and they'll, you know, retweet with an edit or whatever. You know what I mean? Like something added on there or like with a quote of it and then, you know, a link to the review or whatever. I think something like that is really great. They don't have to do anything like that, but, you know, what the hell, it's giving them, you know, additional free advertising. So, you know, why wouldn't they? But I do appreciate it when they go ahead and they do something like that, because not only does it, you know, give us traffic, but it also gives consumers, you know, another chance to go ahead and read somebody else's opinion on the game or, you know, whatever the news piece is that's coming out. You know, so I really do, you know, I really do appreciate, you know, that. But I will say is that, Chris, when you were talking about, or I think, Andy, you were talking about the embargo and blacklisting and stuff like that. As far as I know of, we aren't blacklisted. And I will, you know, from any company. But I could be wrong. Maybe we're blacklisted and we don't know it because we're awesome.
We're not blacklisted because of NDAs or embargoes. We follow those because we're decent human beings.
Right, yeah.
We may be, in fact, I'm fairly certain we are, blacklisted for Deep Silver. But that's because the PR person for Deep Silver is a collection of words that I probably shouldn't use in civilized company. And doesn't know how to do a good job of what it is that this person is supposed to be doing for a living.
Well,
wow.
Aside from that,
we aren't blacklisted for any reasons.
Yeah, we've never done anything. Like, I'm honestly, like, I am proud to say, and I will wear this like a fucking badge of honor about our site. We've never, ever broken embargo on anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome.
And that's the way it should be. But I you know, they're like there was a classic one with IGN. I think they did this on four occasions. So there were four separate reviews I wrote for four different games, three of which were from Ubisoft. And what they do is to circumvent the embargo and to get eyes on the IGN page. You know, they have different language IGN sites. The German IGN site in particular will always print out the same review, but in German, 15 minutes earlier than the embargo. But they will tweet it, and then everybody's like, ooh, that's the first review. And then, of course, they're already on IGN. And then by the time they finish reading the review, they're like, oh, here's the English language version of the same thing. If somebody hasn't already used Google Translate, right? And then I approached a few PRs about this. And I was like, you're letting this fly? And there were some that actually didn't know. I'm like, come on, man. It's like,
yeah, how do you not know?
Well, yeah, sometimes they don't know and sometimes they don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
like, I'm like, but if we broke an embargo site breaking an embargo because they posted a review at 9 a.m. their time. But
yeah.
the embargo was specifically 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
So maybe misunderstanding, maybe feigned misunderstanding in order to get the...
Yeah, but that's a different matter. It's like if you've got time zones wrong, that's slightly... You know, it's like 9 a.m., you know. But 15 minutes before is pretty specific.
Yeah.
On separate occasions, you're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like there's nobody even giving you a slap on the wrist. Funny you mentioned that, actually, because I remember back when Modern Warfare 3 was going to launch and they had the European press tour. And at the time, I was on the Infinity Ward community team, so I got a separate screening with Robert Bolin and Sledgehammer. And I had a different embargo to all the other sites, right? This was when we were still growing. So mine said 1 p.m. UK time. And at the time, we were on British summertime and not GMT or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else had 2 p.m., I think, British summertime or GMT or whatever it was. Anyway, there was an hour difference. And I was at the earlier hour with all the specialist sites. So ours went up. And then I just get a flurry of tweets from people going, why is your stuff up now? Who are you? And I'm like, well, my NDA says this. And it actually got to the point where I had to email the screenshot of that particular part of the NDA, which told me I could put my stuff up at 1 p.m. UK time. And that's all encompassing. That's like whatever 1 p.m. UK time is on that particular day, you can put your stuff up.
Right.
I didn't even realize that I had a separate one from a different one from everybody else. And I was like, if you could take it up with the PR and with Infinity Ward and with Activision if you want, but my thing's staying up. And they were just pissed because some site they've never heard of got a different embargo to them. Like, oh, some blogger.
How dare you try to have any glory?
I know.
How dare you?
Some blogger. Oh.
Yeah, I love it. Some blogger. Oh, there's this other site that's going to be getting, like, you know, maybe a couple thousand hits, but we're only going to get, you know, like a few tens of thousands of hits today. Like, oh, it's so fucking rough. Cry me a river. Oh man. It's just it's deplorable.
It's crocodile tears, really. I mean, I have trouble finding a violin small enough to play for them.
Well, because it's like, so they make money off of advertising and they make money off of, you know, like all these other things. And so it's
they make
like
money off one sentence news.
Yeah.
Chris is fuming right now.
You have no idea. I've been sitting here while for the most part, you guys have been talking, going over a lot of the greatest hits of I hate these guys. I hate those guys. I really fucking hate these guys. Oh, those guys really chat my ass. Like
well,
in my head, just. Like there's this one site, I won't name names, but God, I really fucking hate them to my very core.
Did they recently have a name change?
I'm not confirming or denying anything. I'm just gonna say this outright. They have absolutely no quality writing on their site.
Oh, okay.
No one gives a damn about editing, and we heard a story. About someone from a friend of ours who was speaking to someone who works for this other site. And for the guy said, oh, it's the best site on the internet, and it's been around for so long, and I mean, it's just the best site there is. And except, no one edits my work. I said, you know, I asked the editor to edit, and I was told rudely, as if I had asked something wrong, 99% of the stuff that goes up on our site from our writers is already perfect and doesn't need any editing. So just publish it and don't bother me about editing anymore.
Wow.
It's like your title is editor. The writing that goes up on your site is stuff that I would not expect. I'm probably going to offend some people. Stuff I wouldn't expect from a retarded 5-year-old who's
can count a potato.
Fourth language is English. And this is the stuff that you're saying is perfect and is going up on your site. I hope wild fucking dogs bite off your fingers and piss in your eye sockets. Sorry. Anyway, back to whatever you're talking about.
No. And you know, what's really funny is I've noticed, though, that if you say anything negative about, like, another site, especially, like, the big ones, you know, oh, you're just jealous. Jealous of what? What is there to fucking be jealous about? Well, am I jealous? Well, no, seriously though. It's like, I'm not hating on them because I'm jealous. Like, it's not jealous. It's not envy. It's the sheer audacity that this is acceptable, that this is the standard and that it's okay.
Standard,
and so,
the word for it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that it's okay. So essentially those who want to take pride in their work, those who want to go ahead and, you know, do what the publishers say, because honestly, you know, we should respect what they say. All they're giving us a product for free or news items for free. And all they're doing is they're just asking us nicely, saying, hey, please don't go ahead and put it up at this time. How fucking difficult is it to go ahead and abide by it? It's like, were you the kid that said, you know, oh, don't put your hand on the stove, and you just kept moving your finger back and forth until finally you wanted to go ahead and put your hand on it? Well, guess what? Your hand's going to get fucking stuck. Your skin's going to stick to the burner, and then you're going to have a bad time. That's what's going to happen. But the thing is that it doesn't happen to the big guys. They go ahead and they put their hand on the fucking burner, and it's like they're Wolverine. They take a little bit of a hit, they'll feel a little bit of pain, or maybe no pain at all, and then it magically heals, and it's as if it never happened. But with us, we have to get our fucking hands amputated, you know? Well, I mean, that's just the way that it is. And so it's not jealousy, because we don't want to be like them. You know, we don't want to sell out, and we don't want to not take pride in our work, and, you know, go ahead and throw things up that look like not even English. Like, I don't even know what it's like, drunken ramblings of a mad Mel Gibson.
No,
you know,
putting it into Google Translate to Japanese, then from Japanese to German, German to Japanese, then from Japanese back to English, and then publishing it as English.
But you also don't want to have unfair roadblocks and disadvantages put in front of you deliberately. That's the problem.
Right.
They're putting a unscalable barrier up, and it is very unfair, because there's just no way to get around that.
There is a way around it. You level. Sell out. That's how you get around it. You sell out. Yeah.
I would just like to have a level playing field of some sort.
Yeah. Yes.
That would be fantastic. But
I totally agree with you. That's the one thing I think, if more than anything else. And it's like, you know, there's a difference between, I know that like a lot of journalists, again, I don't know really how it is in the US, but in the UK, a lot of journalists sort of like, occasionally you'll see it on Twitter, and we'll just be like, oh, this, that, and the other. Or we'll start listing things that are wrong with this, or, you know, sniping at other people. And it's like, but it's for good reason, because it's like, I genuinely want things to be better. I don't claim to have all the answers, but I damn well know that I'm never, ever, for as long as, and I don't even claim to be a journalist either. I'm just, you know, I'm in games media, but for as long as I am in games media, I am never going to write one sentence news ever. There's no reason for me to do it. There's no reason for anybody considerably better than me to do it.
Well, actually, you know, I still have the asinglesentence.com registered. I just need to do something with it. If I can get enough people.
What Game Journals was doing, just every time you see it, just put a link
copy
to it.
If I get enough people together, then maybe we can make that one a nice little parody site.
Nothing bad comes of holding yourself up to a higher standard, but terrible things happen when you just race to the bottom.
Yeah.
And that's why everyone should just...
Good.
No, that's because people just need to hold themselves to a decent standard for a matter of pride.
Yeah.
We're not going to hit a fair playing ground with this, though, and we're not going to see people choosing to hold themselves to a standard when they're at a point where they don't have to. The PR is really the key holder for this. If they decide finally, and you know, we get treated well by PR, except for, you know, the one who probably blacklisted us because this person doesn't know how to do PR like a professional person. Anyway.
I'm
curtailing myself before I get into it again. PR treats us well for the most part, but they can't and they won't provide a fair playing field by punishing the larger sites for their indiscretions. They won't, because they need that audience. They can't, because their bosses need that audience. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate, and it's just the way it is when the game company is run as a company. They need the audience, and that's more important than a rule being broken.
Well, and then it makes you wonder. It's like, okay, so then to become one of the big boys, what do you do? Like, how do you get that audience? You know, obviously you can't just go ahead and put news, you know, the news out and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, go ahead and get it out so that you can go ahead and have coverage, because, you know, by doing coverage, it makes it easier to go ahead and get review copies, you know? So there's that little game, you know, to go ahead and play, you know, but really you're not going to get viewers based on that, because people are going to go ahead to the big things and find their news that way, or go to, what was it? N4G, and, you know, and browse that and see what the hot news is, or, you know, yeah, what the hell ever. So, you know, they'll want to go ahead and play that game too. So it's like, you really have to go ahead and write something that's just fucking bananas, you know? Like,
well, there are a few different ways. One, you troll nonstop.
Right.
You keep trolling, and you're going to get traffic, whether it's positive traffic, negative traffic, it's traffic, and you grow. Two, you actually write sincerely, wonderfully, excellent writing, not just news pieces and reviews, but independent work,
like
analysis of things, opinion pieces, questioning, interviewing, that kind of stuff. Or you get somehow, you develop some connection somewhere that gives you early access to stuff, and then you write about it well. It's so that there's a positive way of doing it, which I think is less prolific, and there's the negative way of doing it, which is, I think, what we see more of.
It's a faster rise. I mean, it's just like, I wrote that piece, it was sometime last year, and it was before, it was a couple months, actually, I think, before I stopped, when I started at BioWare, that I left my heart in Monteriggioni, you know, going and writing about that, and, you know, I was fortunate to see, you know, a lot of people at Ubisoft that they really enjoyed it, you know, they were retweeting it and sharing it and whatnot. And so, you know, I ended up getting a lot of hits on that, but, you know, obviously that's just one piece. And while I'm not complaining, you know, at all, I'm very thankful that the people I wanted to appreciate what I had to say did, you know, like, I was like, you know what, that's awesome. It reached further than I even thought it was going to. And so, you know, they know how I feel, you know, thank you. But at the same time, you know, a site like Kotaku or a site like IGN or a site like whatever, they don't even have to write something like that that has meaning or that has heart, you know, behind it. And they're going to go ahead and get 10 times it, you know, it's essentially they could go ahead and put out, my dog is so cool, he decided to chew up one of my game controllers. And they'd be like, oh my god, that's like the best story ever.
They could put a review of celery with snack, peanut butter on it.
Yeah. Have you not seen Snack Taku?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Snack
Taku. Yeah.
We actually did one of those called Marooner's Nosh about the Doritos taco from Taco Bell and
the satire
of it.
Well, and the drink. Yeah, the energy coffee from 7-Eleven. Yeah, Tom did them.
We're doing it as satire. We're not doing it as a sincere, hey, we think this is something that is totally relevant.
Yeah, we think that this is a direction that we need to go in, so we're gonna. But yeah, I don't know. It's disappointing because I like to think that, you know, on our side of the fence, not to, you know, put a line in the sand between us and them, even though it's already been there. But, you know, for us on this side of the fence, we really are doing this because we love it. You know, we really don't get anything out of it, you know, aside from, you know, like the occasional trip, like Adam was, you know, I mean, thank you, you know, Darksiders 2 and everything like that for going and doing that for him. You know, I think that's fantastic. So, you know, we occasionally get things like that, or, you know, we occasionally, you know, get passes to go to certain events and review copies and stuff like that. But the thing is that that's not the norm for us. I mean, those really are, you know, perks that mean a lot to us. And, you know, so by doing this as a volunteer and everything, this is really coming from a place that means a lot to us. And, you know, so we go ahead and we see somebody who's
not taking it seriously. And I'm not saying that game journalism or game media needs to be serious, but I mean, you understand what I'm using the term seriously in this, or, you know, they're just doing it haphazardly, or, you know, they're just doing it in this way that it almost kind of degrades what we're doing.
Well, you know, Adam and Tom and I think had a discussion about this months ago, and it's that they get desensitized to it. It becomes the norm for them. And, you know, reviews, for example, a game reviewed by someone who gets all of the games all of the time for free to review doesn't include the perspective of someone who's going to have to go out there and pay 60 of their own dollars to get that game. They become slightly out of touch because of that.
But I mean, you get what I'm saying.
No, I know. It's not a good thing that they become out of touch with it. It's something you need to constantly remind yourself of if you're in that position, and keep that perspective in mind, because that's who you're writing for.
Well, and I think that it could apply for anything. You know, it's just like I crossed the other line of the fence. You know, I got to work for BioWare, you know, and one of the things I kept telling myself is just like, you know, don't get jaded. Don't, you know, like, and I like to think that I didn't, you know, because it's like I was applying for a job recently for a company. Unfortunately, obviously, I didn't get it. But there's always a chance in the future because this individual is holding the information, my information on their desk. But the CEO of the company, very, you know, he's a well-known person in the gaming industry. He was the one who actually emailed and contacted me. And, you know, most people would be like, you know, okay, yeah, cool, whatever. I'm just applying for a job. And I was like, holy shit. You know, I can't believe that I just received this email from this person. You know, I enjoy their games and everything like that. And I, you know, some people would say, oh, but you work for BioWare. Why do you care about this? Or, you know, oh, you already, you know all these people in the industry or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, inside I'm still a kid. You know, I still get excited when, you know, I meet these people or someone follows me back on Twitter or, you know, whatever. And I think that that's healthy. I think that's the... I mean, obviously act professional about it and don't be like, oh my God, I totally, you know, and like go all, like all fangirl or fanboy out on them. You know, obviously let them know that you appreciate their work. Cause I mean, who the hell doesn't like hearing that, you know, they liked your shit. I mean, everybody likes praise. I mean, it's a human thing, but I don't know. I just think, you know, something like that is important, you know, still get excited about it because it could all be taken away in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all I
got to
say about that.
Well, we do get to have a unique voice, and I guess we have to take our victories where we can get them and say, hey, we are proud of what we are doing, and when someone comes through and notices it, it's great. But, you know, at the end of the day, we can at least take pride in that we wrote a great article because we really enjoyed it or because we love something, right, and not some rehash of a story that we wrote every 2 or 3 months about game narratives or whatever the flavor of the day is.
Right.
I guess take the victories where you can get them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and I think that's really, I think it's, you know, it's really important because, I mean, honestly, you never know. It's like, Adam, you could go ahead and write a piece tomorrow about something and, you know, maybe only a couple hundred people look at it. You know, I mean, whatever. I'm just throwing numbers out there. But, you know, who knows what could happen like 4 months from now. Maybe something happens, you know, in the world or in the news that suddenly makes your article like relevant as shit. And, you know, everybody and their mom is like flocking to it being like, holy shit, you know, and they think that what you had to say is like really awesome. Crazy things happen.
Absolutely.
You know, you never know.
What is that saying? Everyone and their mother. Wouldn't the mother be part of the everyone?
No.
So doesn't that cause like a recursive loop of everyone's and their mothers, and wouldn't that kind of break reality?
No.
Okay. I've heard that phrase so many times in my life, and that's the first time it's occurred to me that the mothers should be part of the everyone. Because yeah, the mothers have mothers, and then where does it end? Everyone, it's everyone.
Well, it's just a way of assuring you get everyone.
Right.
Right, yeah.
But how about the fathers, then?
No, we don't care about that.
If you're specifying mothers.
Discrimination against...
No, the women, exactly. The women reconnect.
Sexism in gaming, damn it.
Oh, yeah, no, right.
Oh, that's for another show.
That one.
It's okay. We'll do that show when we don't have a woman holding us back in the.
Oh,
in the
oh, oh okay. Yeah. I'm definitely holding you guys back. Jesus. No, I swear.
We'll do that when we don't have a booth, but no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, I swear, though, like, not to expand on that, but I swear it's almost as if somebody has like an egg timer underneath a sign that says sexism in gaming industry. And as soon as the egg timer goes off, they're like, it's time to write another article about it.
Like, I did. Yeah, that's what I was saying. The narration thing. I was on a major site today, and they're one of their big features was about the future of like narration in games and how stories are involved in games. We've read that article 1,000 fucking times on that same site. We don't. It doesn't need to be rehashed, guys. There's other stuff to write
Adam,
about.
Adam, what if they had something new to add to it?
They didn't. Come on now. Like, I think it's just like they have a board, and then they kind of have what points they need to hit on, and they just throw darts and figure out what they're going to write about. And then shit it out in 30 minutes.
Well, you know, on our site, I think it was actually you and Kyle had differing opinions on whether story is important to games. So Kyle wrote his perspective. Yours was the opposite perspective. Those both went up.
Okay, I love that.
That was, yeah, they were good articles. That was the site's perspective or perspectives on the topic.
Right.
Okay, next topic. It hasn't come up again on the site because that has already been written.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless something dramatically changes. But it's sort of, right. I mean, I think with the game industry, with a lot of this stuff, it's like the first conversation we had. They're just injecting zombies into everything because they think that's what people are going to go for. And they've got nothing else to add, so they figure, hey, we'll just throw in this top 10 list, this whatever, because that's what will get hits.
Top 10 cosplays.
All right, exactly.
Yeah, see, most of them are pretty hot, so it's nice.
Well, yeah, no, I know. But it's like, or what was it? I talked about this earlier.
That sounded like a massive fart. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, what was I was telling you guys, because Chris and I, you know, we were talking about earlier this week changing up the way that we handle review scores. Because, I mean, we're always looking at ways to go ahead and improve the site, you know, things that we can go ahead and do. And, I mean, really, it's not necessarily for us. It's for...
Well, I mean, I was thinking about it. And looking at the... We have an out of 100 score system right now.
Yeah.
And it's fine. I mean, there's nothing necessarily wrong with it, but it doesn't really provide as much context. Whereas something like a more qualitative rather than quantitative scoring system would provide better direct context to the reader whether it was good or not. Because a 90 in one game doesn't necessarily equate to a 90 in another game because it depends on the reviewer, it depends on the game, it depends on a lot of different factors. So, you know, we were thinking maybe five things. You either loathed it, you disliked it, it was okay, you liked it, or you loved it. And that gives you all the context you need.
Sort of like the thumbs up, thumbs down Siskel and Ebert thing, because that's really at the end of the day what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Right.
And so if people can look and just say, hey, so play it or don't play it, and they can get an idea of why, it probably serves a better purpose as far as convincing people to spend and or save their money.
Yeah. Right.
So I've actually spent the last few days looking for a plugin to help me make that change. It's just been slow going on that front.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, we're talking about it, and then all of a sudden I see that yesterday IGN goes and writes about it, about how they're looking to change it. And I don't know if they're trying to revolutionize or, you know, whatever. I don't know what their end goal is. And, you know, so they're doing it. And I was thinking, I'm like, well, ain't this a son of a bitch? Because some of our ideas were similar to what is in the piece done by Casey, the editor there. And I'm like, ain't this going to be some shit where if we go ahead and we do something, you know, regardless if it's, you know, before or after, you know, whatever they implement, somebody's going to go ahead and say, oh, you're just doing, you know, you got it off of IGN because right. now they have this blog out. And I'm like, ain't this some
shit? To be fair. Our five readers probably aren't really going to pay that much attention.
Oh, come on.
And our four listeners probably aren't even going to pay attention to this at the same time anyway. So, really, I mean, the fallout is going to be minor.
Yeah, we're gonna have one person that's gonna yell that we're copying IGN, but you know,
yeah,
there's always that one guy.
Even but that one person, a knife to my heart.
If you only have two readers, one of those two readers is gonna say that shit to you. Like that's just how.
It's a 50-50.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So I mean, I actually came up with a couple ideas that, you know, I'll talk to Chris later on about it. And in my opinion, it sounds actually kind of cool. But you know, yeah, like I said, we'll go over that later. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just unfortunate that
I'm sorry to jump in. So you are complying with a self-imposed embargo on this content.
Yes.
In order to make sure that it does not leak out before the content is ready to be leaked out.
Yes.
Cool. Just making sure that I know what's going on.
Yes.
God, you know, embargoes aren't hard to follow either. Good God.
No.
Thinking back about that freaking article again, because obviously I was going to do another article about Darksiders today, for today. But some of the stuff was embargoed later than it was originally supposed to be, so I have to wait till Monday, but I'm not whining about it.
I got 1, 2, 3. I have 3 things I'm working on right now that are embargoed.
Right.
And, you know, there are certain, Warhead headset, for example, the embargo is that I can't write a full review about it, but I can make a comment here and there. So
about Twitter.
Hey, okay. So, hey, here, the Warhead, Triton Warhead headset for Xbox 360 wireless headset. It's about the same size as the detonator. It weighs about the same. So on a price per pound or price for volumetric space, you're better off with the detonator than the Warhead.
I like that. Those are good metrics. That's what we should be looking at.
Those are the metrics that you have to look at. Mm-hmm. Bar none, that those are the metrics for quality gaming headsets.
And in the news on Monday, Kotaku is now going to be doing a price per volumetric weight.
I'll go to their offices and I'll be like, bitches.
You know what though? I would be flattered to see that. I'd make sure they sourced us.
Yeah,
I'd be very flattered that they were listening to this little podcast and taking our ideas as good enough to, you know, pawn off as their own.
Yeah, I was gonna say if Crescente was still with them, I could say, you know, it was his glorious mane. That's what drew him to our podcast. That majestic hair of his. Oh man. No, it's his hair. I mean, you know the thing about his hair. Everybody talks about Crescente's hair. I've seen his hair in person, so and I can verify without a doubt that it is lovely.
All right, well, we've actually come up on
almost 2 hours.
2 hours, yeah. So here's what I'm gonna do. We've spent the first half talking mostly about one thing, and the second half for the most part talking about something else. So this now has been episode 41 of Marooners Talk, titled
Quality, Esco Mode.
Titled Quality Journalism.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and split it in half.
Sweet.
And
oh my God, Andy's going to be on 2.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, shit.
So, anyway, thanks for joining us, Andy. It's always fun.
Thank you. It's great fun. It's been a while since I've guested on a podcast. I've like hosted a few, but not been a guest. It's nice to not have to lead it. So thank you.
Tom's going to be very disappointed that he wasn't here, but then maybe he'll learn to answer his emails.
But yeah, follow Andy on Twitter. It's EscoBlades, ESCOBLADES. And he also has a really awesome Facebook. I mean, not a Facebook. Well, his Facebook is awesome. But you have your YouTube channel because you are a machinima partner.
Yeah.
Plug right now.
I make gaming videos and put them on the internet. But I have 2 YouTube channels. One is Escoblades. The other one is GBIESE. So just type that in and it should come up. Yeah.
For Gabigigigigigi.
Okay.
Well, anything else?
That's it, I think.
Cool. Have a good week and
aren't you gonna plug us?
Well, they obviously they know where to find us if they're listening.
You don't know that.
You can find us on Twitter at Marooners_Rock. You can find us on Facebook.com/MaroonersRock, at MaroonersRock.com. You can find us on iTunes under Marooners Talk. You can find Adam on Twitter at Adam Greeny. You can find Lindsay on Twitter at Vivo Est Somnio. And you can find me on Twitter at Tututella, spelled out, numbers, words. You're not going to follow me on Twitter anyway, so who gives a shit?
And then that's it. That's it. So, yeah, thank you. And thanks for listening.
And what?
Thanks, guys.
I said, and thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you, four dudes.